Welcome back to Casual Conversations. I am your host, Ryan Bean, here with the talent behind the camera, Elena Sweetser, and actually in front of the camera. Behind the camera is Amber. I'm the one that has the least amount of talent of the three.
What is he doing here?
Starting off rough already. But anyway, thank you guys for joining in with us. We appreciate it. We are talking all things life, business, marriage, kids, raising kids,
friends, because we have those.
Yeah, today was last day of school, so yeah, you know, it's fun times all around. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in today. We really appreciate you guys being here. Yep. And we are going to get into it today.
It's been an interesting week, and like we said in our podcast, we want to have real life conversations, and today might be a little bit more of a difficult type of topic, but unfortunately I feel like a lot of people have gone through what Ryan has gone through the last few days, and unfortunately he just lost his father. So do you want to kind of
You know, it's, you know, for me it's you know, very sad news to get the call earlier in the week, and especially after we had just planned on my dad coming out here for the summer, and we literally were booking flights that day, and you know, followed up with him to say, hey, when are you coming to town, or do these dates work? And an hour later found out that he had passed on. So you know, it's, you know, a lot of praying for him, a lot of praying as a family, but I also know that, you know, in general, everyone grieves differently. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think it was a good thing to talk about today, just because some people kind of cower down and kind of, you know, they really lose it. We didn't have really an emotional attachment growing up. My dad was more hard, right? So I, you know, absolutely a lot of love in our family and things like that. There was, I mean, I don't know where where's the love part come in?
Tough love.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere. No, a lot of love for my dad for sure. Very sad news, but there wasn't a really tight emotional connection. And that's something that I've tried to learn from. Right. And one of the things that I've tried to do is not be that way with my kids. And I think it's just because of how my dad's upbringing was, right? He was he was brought up with six brothers. So you have a house of seven boys. It was very old school upbringing he had. Yeah. So I think in his eyes, he was already so much easier on us kids based on what his comparison was. And likewise with my kids today. So, you know, I've definitely have made a lot of changes, but part of it too is I'm one of those guys that push through quickly. I don't like to dwell. I don't like to let negative energy get to me. I don't like to let it consume me. So, you know, for a lot of people are like, hey, do you need time? I'm like, I'll take time when we get to the arrangements and things like that. But overall, you know, it's like work helps me keep my mind occupied. My kids keep me occupied, and I want my mind working all the time. So super sad news. Like I said, it happened 5 days ago. So it's kind of still, it's obviously still fresh.
Open wound, yeah.
You know, and thankfully, you know, my half sister lived really close to him. So she's helping take on a lot of the stuff because it was in Arizona. So he's states away too, which that also makes it challenging. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, it's a tough week, but I think, you know, how you overcome it. We talk a lot about, you know, overcoming things on this podcast. And I think for me, you just have to push through. You got to keep your mind occupied. Life goes on. He would want life to go on. He would tell me flat out, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, he wasn't afraid of death. And for me, you know, I'm hanging on to the fact that my mom passed away, you know, almost 10 years ago now. But now they're reunited, and I've got a lot of faith that they are reunited, and
because they were the love of each other.
Absolutely. And they're married for 30 plus years, and I think he just never really got over that part of it, and I don't blame him for it. I think he just tried to cope, and he tried to get through life the best he could by himself. But now I hang on to the fact that the last thing I told him was I loved him, because I talked to him 2 days prior, because again, we were planning his trip out here. So I'm very thankful that I was able to have that conversation. And the last words he literally heard come out of my mouth was, I love you, Dad. So I'm very blessed and very grateful that I got to have those last words with him. And he was laughing, joking. We were on FaceTime and he was having a great day. And unfortunately, this is what happens in life. And you gotta keep pushing through, and you can't let it. For me, you know, again, everyone grieves differently, and I don't
similar
judge
to you.
I think that for me, it's, I'm not as emotional on that type of stuff as other people maybe, But that's just kind of who I am.
I think you really tapped into it, you know, and you put things in perspective. You said the word life, and really how important is life? We all think we have all this time in the world, and we have all the time in the world with those we love, and we don't realize that just like you, you're in your 40s, mm-hmm. and your father passed away, right? Yep. And literally the next morning, when I found out and I messaged you, you know, I texted my family, our group chat, and I was like, I had a buddy who dad passed away yesterday and his mom passed away years ago. And I don't think we realize like how lucky we are to still have our parents. Yeah. And my mom's been battling health issues for the last 2 months in and out of the hospital, you know, and it puts things into perspective. And so we went out there right before Easter for a week, mm-hmm. which, you know me, that was really hard with my job right now, yep. to juggle that.
Yep.
And we're going to go out again for a week for her birthday here in June. And once again, you know me, that is really tough for me to do that because my job is, yeah. so demanding. But if you think about it, I'm like, I'm never going to get this time back with her.
Well, no, you know? Like I said, time, we talk about this all the time. Time is our most precious asset, yeah. right? And, you know, health is right up there as well. And, you know, just as far as being around as long as you can. But when you start looking at my dad, you know, me and my brother talked about this recently, you know, it's hard because, you know, like I said, he's in his 30s. Me and my sister in our early 40s. I'm almost in my mid-40s, unfortunately. But it's, you know, and to have both parents already gone, right? Yeah. And there's still so many years that we have ahead of us.
Yeah.
That, you know, the grandkids, you know, that are, some of them are young, they won't have a relationship with either of them. So there's those type of things that are more heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
It's just those type of things. But you also look, like you said, the time, right? You gotta find a way to make it happen. Because if you look at, okay, let's say, for instance, you saw your parents once a year.
Right? I was just gonna bring it up. We talked about
so
that.
Yeah, so that's where me and Matt were. We just had this conversation yesterday. And I said, you know, we've only seen him really for the most part once a year for the last decade. So when you think about it, I saw him 10 times in 10 years,
yeah.
and how little that really is. And
yeah.
when you put in perspective how busy you are and we have all these things going on in life, how am I going to find the time to do it? I think it's just an excuse.
Well,
I think you make it as an excuse because it's an inconvenience,
yeah.
right? Let's just call it what it is. It's an inconvenience.
Or an expense, too, if your parents are
in town. Yeah, no doubt about it. We're not discounting that at all. But just in general, it's like, okay, what do I have to shuffle around? Yeah, I want to see you, but can't we just, like, catch up on a phone call or FaceTime?
And
you justify it in your head. Like, okay, that's just enough. You know, that's good. But I think once they're gone, you start to realize, and that's what always happens, right?
Yeah.
Hindsight's 20/20, and you always look back and go, man, I should have done this, or I should have spent more time, or I should have made more of an effort here. But it can be gone tomorrow. Like I said, I spoke to him on Saturday night, and a day and a half later, he's gone. So
well, to put it in perspective, too, because we have to flip-flop holidays with my family and my husband's family
that's
here.
That's another part of it, too.
And so every Christmas, it's flip-flop, right? Mm-hmm. And I was telling Cole, I said, after this whole thing, we actually had a more of like a come to Jesus moment about being more intentional with our families. Now, my husband's family is here.
Yep.
They live an hour or so away, but that's still a doable drive for as much as we drive.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, I can commit to going out to see your parents one weekend a month. Like, obviously, we go like one night.
Yep.
If you can commit to visiting my parents in New Mexico once a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying for a week, but like at least a week, I'll spend a weekend with them.
Sure.
And you know, if you think about, I said the expense thing because it is, you got to buy the flights and
it
whatever.
Is, absolutely.
But I'm like,
it's
if you
real
think
life.
About it, flying to Albuquerque is not that expensive.
Yeah.
It's doable. And so I told him, I was like, if I have to add that to my budget sheet moving forward, because my dad is 69, my mom be 68 or 69. So if you think about it, hopefully they make it to 90, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, so I have what? 20 more Christmases with them, cut in half because I split 10 more Christmases with her, if that. And that's me banking on her making it to 90.
Correct.
Right? And so when you start to put things in perspective like that, you're like, the money shouldn't matter that I spend $1,000 every 3 months to go visit my mom.
I think what you're going to hang on to is the memories will outweigh that, right? So, you know, and again, it's every situation is different. There's people that are closer with their family than others are. Like I said, it was always a great time, but we weren't the closest tight-knit family. I know other families that are super, super tight. We were kind of the in-between, I would say, you know, for us growing up. So, you know, and I'm just trying to, you know, what's crazy is we talk about health and we talk about living to those type of ages. You know, my goal is, and I'm not lying to you, is to go well past 100. And it's absolutely doable if we're doing things correct today and taking care of yourself today. And you start thinking about how precious that time is, and people just get it in their head. I'm getting older. I'm getting older. This is just the way life goes. I let my body start to deteriorate. I start making excuses, you know, why I'm getting older, and this is why I can't do certain things. I just think it's excuses.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I don't live by excuses. And I think a lot of that happens.
But also, you have to be with who you're surrounded with, push you out of those excuses.
Yes.
When I say this is my mom got out of the hospital. She thought, she put in her mind, she was in the hospital for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
When she went to go visit my siblings in California. And when she was leaving the hospital, she thought she was gonna have to be on a walker. And all of us, and I there definitely was anger with her, with us, because we're like, you're not gonna be on a walker. And we kept making it so strict with her. Like, once you put in your mind at your age, your body now needs a walker, that is your life moving forward.
Correct.
You can't come back from that.
No.
And so luckily she's not using a walker right now, and she's moving slower and she's recovering. But
she's moving.
Yes, but they didn't have us, we'd be like, okay, mom, whatever, and we just allowed it.
Yep.
I can only imagine how much quicker her body would have deteriorated.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what happened, I think, to my dad, unfortunately, right? He just wasn't taking care of himself, and he wasn't taking the, again, I'm anti-pills, I'm anti-medication. Yeah. I've kind of been that way my whole life, because, you know, my mom, again, you know, died in her mid-50s, and I didn't even make mid-50s, and she was, you know, basically taking a pharmacy every day.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, I said, you can't, no doctor, I'm not the smartest guy, trust me, but no one's going to convince me that you taking 20 or 30 pills a day, that these aren't offsetting each other some way, you're making yourself worse. You got to push yourself to do it. And I'm glad that you guys pushed her to, because you're absolutely right. It becomes a mindset thing. Yeah. And all of a sudden now, that's where the victim mentality, well, I'm older, well, my body can't handle it anymore, well, I can't do that. Well, no, you put yourself in that position, and then you put that in your head.
Yeah.
That's not the case. You can do it, but you have to not let yourself get down that road.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, again, you look at why it's so, life is, and we talk about it all the time, and it always takes something like this to happen to open your eyes to certain things. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just human nature.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets into their own world, their own life. They've got their kids. Life is busy. You got bills to pay. You got responsibilities, and you look up, and the time's over, right?
Yeah.
Full time careers that consume a lot of our time. And you know, again, for me, it's you know, everyone grieves differently, but for me, it was pushing through, and just continue to focus on work, focus on my family, do what I normally would do, and that, you know, helped distract my mind. That just works for me.
Yeah. So. I'm getting emotional thinking about this, but like when my grandpa died, because my son's named after him and I was very close to him,
mm-hmm.
obviously I was sad and I did cry for a day, but I remember like praying to him the next day and saying, I promise to keep raising little Key and Eddie to be just like you. Like that was like, I will let your legacy live on.
That's it.
You know, like I'm sad, but I'm like, I'm not going to let it die with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that's the right way to look at it, right? And that's what you put into your kids. You're the same thing. What you're doing for Kian today and what I'm doing for Allison, what you and Cole are doing for Kian
mm-hmm.
and your future kids,
mm-hmm.
and what Allison and I are doing for our kids is trying to leave a legacy for them, right? But it's the legacy, you know, I think people get it warped sometimes. They think the legacy is, okay, what did you
Money.
Leave me? Yeah, what did you leave me? What materialistic stuff did you leave me? What kind of, you know, head start? With me, I want my kids having morals,
mm-hmm.
ethics. I want them to be good people. I want them to be caring. I want them to love hard.
Yeah.
I want them to fail regularly mm-hmm. so they learn. Mm-hmm. I want them to listen more, unlike their dad. It's one, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly trying to work on is I need to listen more. Those are the legacies that you leave, right? The relationships with your family.
Yeah. I made a post about it the other day because like, I've been more intentional with Kian. Going mm-hmm. to work with me. I'm like, yeah. And I said, most people think the legacy is the money you leave behind, but it's the generation you leave behind you. Because how many people, mm-hmm. either you see it in movies or real life or
mm-hmm.
fortunately some friends, they make all this money and they just feed stuff to their kids. And mm-hmm. then when they're done, their kids blow it up.
Yeah.
Their kids are partying, drinking, gambling, and all that hard work that parent did. It's gone.
Or because they didn't put the right effort into the core of the person, right? So, you know, me and my brother were talking about this the other day when we, you know, we've been so focused on breaking the chain. I've said that before too, right? Because again, we grew up in very, very humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my parents did the best they could, but we struggled our whole childhood. Financially, we did. But again, you look at what you strip that down, you look at the things that we got from our parents, how grateful and thankful that I am because of the upbringing that I had. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I just
made you who you are.
Yeah. But you look at, I told my brother, I said, you know, we keep talking about breaking the chain so that our kids have a head start in life. And what we're talking about is financial head start in life, rather than why aren't we making health one of our biggest priorities? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we making that breaking the chain? Because my dad is, like I said, one of seven brothers.
Yeah.
There are three of them still left. Mm-hmm. So four of them have already passed away. And between them, my aunts, cousins, I don't know of anyone that's reached more than 80.
Yeah.
Everyone's been in their 60s mm-hmm. or mid 70s that passed away. And when you start to really think about that, I'm 44 years old mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, my dad's 74. So, or he just passed away at 74. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, he had 30 more years on this earth. And you think that's a lot of time, and it's nothing. It is literally nothing.
I'm 34 and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. My kids, like I said,
this would be your age.
Rude. But yeah, like I said, and not to be a somber, this is one of our more depressing, but it could be a good thing. So I think
depressing and eye opening though. Right?
I think it's not depressing. It depends on how you look at it. I think what happens is, you could take sadness and you could flip it into opportunity, right? We talk a lot about there's opportunity. No matter what situation you are in life, there's opportunity. I take this opportunity to reflect on my life, to reflect on my relationship with my kids, reflect on my relationship with my friends, make time for the people that I need to make time for, let them know how much I love them, know how much I care about them, let them know how much they mean to me and my family, and truly... Yeah. This is your opportunity to have those conversations, to tell Elena, I'm so blessed to know you. Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed that I'm doing this with you. I'm so blessed that you're a friend in our family, or you are a family to mm-hmm. us. And so is your husband and you know, your extended family as well, with the Sweetster mm-hmm. family and all that stuff. You guys are family to mm-hmm. us. Use that opportunity to say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of you guys that are here, because again, that same outcrying of support, you guys are the first ones that are calling, texting, how are you? What can you do? You know, there's the opportunity.
Yeah.
That's where the opportunity lies. You got
to
see it.
Usually death brings people together, and it's sad that it takes death to do that. Because
it's reminders. I think it's God reminding us. It's a, hey, you're getting out of, you need to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
It's like what you're talking about with visiting your mom. It's, you know, real estate, grind, build. Let me bring your ass back.
But it comes back down to, I wouldn't be at the top of the mountain with the people who helped me get there. And my parents mm-hmm. are one of those people.
Yeah.
They worked their asses
off. The foundation.
To put us in private school.
They're the foundation.
Because Albuquerque did not have great public school systems mm-hmm. for education. Yep. They sacrificed for three kids
yep.
to go through private school mm-hmm. from 6th through 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
They drove old beat up cars, you know, and their hard work has paid off. But once again, I will never forget that. Now that I'm a parent, I look at the sacrifice with like me paying daycare fees. I'm like, child of mine.
Yeah. But you look at, you think about if you talk to your mom and your dad today, the fact that you just said this out there to everybody, how appreciative you are, recognizing and appreciating what your mom and dad did. I guarantee you when they listen, hopefully they do. It's going to make their day.
Yeah.
And they're going to realize, wow, this was worth it. This was worth all the sacrifice. It was worth everything that we did, because the legacy is you and your two siblings.
Well,
that's the legacy, right? That's what they looked at it. And we've as a society, we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from leaving your mark on your children mm-hmm. so that your children could continue that path for generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's the legacy.
Yeah.
That's the, what greater way to leave this world knowing your kids are all taken care of. Your kids are all independent. They're all loving. They all turn out to be good people. They have big hearts. They want to do the right thing. And they at least
try to
do good
back to this world.
That's it. They bring good back to the world, and good outweighs evil. And it always will.
Yeah.
It always will. And no matter how much evil is constantly pumped into our brain on a daily basis, I truly believe, I've mm-hmm. refused to believe otherwise, that there's more good.
And
people want to do more good.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they just need to get a little kick in the butt sometimes, mm-hmm. me included, and just reminded of what are we doing this for? What kind of life do we really want to live?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, like I said, those are the things that I've been reflecting on, especially these last few days.
Well, and you know, as like I said, I went through this huge transition with my real estate business last year. It's because although I'm hustling now, it's a different type of hustle than when I started my career.
Yep.
I pushed everything and everything behind, right? And that included my family. How many times did I cancel trips with my, to go see my family?
Yep.
So I could work, even with Cole's family here, you know? I miss my nephew's birthday parties. And looking back, I mean, sucks. I'm making up for it now. But you look, and I guess I was caught up in that. A lot of realtors chase the money. They don't chase the life and the freedom. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
Which is why people hate realtors, because a lot of them flash the fancy cars, the Corvettes, or the freaking Lexus, or whatever the nice cars. I don't even know. Mercedes, I suppose. And their big houses and their big extravagant vacations. And it's like, you get so caught up in that fake reality of yeah. what you're chasing for, what you're actually building, right?
Yeah.
And so the last 2 years, like, I've really changed, like, what's enough for me to mm-hmm. live the life and build that legacy for me. Because my legacy is important. And it's not mine. Too. It's mine and Cole's, right?
Correct. What's your family legacy? What's yeah. your family legacy?
And Cole and I came from two different backgrounds. His parents had him when he was 21. Mine mm-hmm. had me when I was 33. You're just different people at those ages.
Right.
Right? And so he was raised a little bit different than I was. So he and I are pulling together two different lives.
Which is a good thing. That's a good thing, though.
We got a lot because of it.
Yeah, but what it should do is open up your eyes to, okay, there's different ways of doing things. There's different, they say, what's the saying? There's two different ways. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
Right? Same way, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean your way is right or his way is right. What it is, okay, what's our right?
And that's important for the compromise in a marriage, right?
Exactly. What is right to you? What's right to me? Okay, let's come to even ground, and that's not going to be right for our family.
Yeah.
And then Kian's going to see how that upbringing was, and saw that relationship with his mom and his dad, saw the fact that they compromised, saw the fact that they, you know, had each other's backs.
Yeah.
And then that now carries on. So
your
legacy is a huge deal to me as well. And
so you might,
all those
you might think this is dramatic, because I know my husband thinks it's dramatic when I say things like this, but whenever, you know, we go back to the life is short thing, and obviously there are times you get in disagreements with your spouse, and you, like, you know who I am. I just want to stew in it and be like, just hold on to it, because I know I'm right. But if you put into perspective, if my, I know this is dramatic, but if my husband were to die tomorrow, is this little fight worth it? You know what I mean? Because life's not guaranteed. And once again, we always think, like, my goal is to have 50 year anniversary with my husband.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
We're 8 years this weekend, and my goal is to hit 50 years with him.
And like, you easily can do it.
You easily
can do it.
And then so, but I think about it, you're like, that's just not guaranteed. Just because I hope for that doesn't mean it's guaranteed.
Correct.
Right? I can't just say God. Oh. God has a plan already. Mm-hmm. And so I think about it. It's like when we have those big arguments, because we went through a hard year, was it 2-3 years ago or whatever? Before King was born.
Yeah.
All those miscarriages. And I started to realize, like, this is the person I want to do hard with my life. Like, no relationship's going to be easy. So if there's somebody I had to choose to do the hard things with, it would be Cole, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it now.
Because he balances you, right? Because you have that feistiness. You have that temper.
And passion. That's what he likes to say. Passionate.
Yeah, I'm really passionate too. Very passionate.
That's the way to say it. I'm being crazy.
Yeah. My wife goes, you yell all the time. I'm like, I'm not yelling.
Yeah.
Where's the yelling? I'm like, if I was yelling, the windows would be shaking. Yeah. Okay,
the neighborhood would know.
Yeah, this is me just being. I just want you guys to know that I'm very passionate about the subject. Yeah, but
if you put things in perspective like that, because that's one thing my therapist taught me. It's like we all have this like focused lens, and we're so close up to it. But if you just take a second to see it from a further away view, everything's so small. It is.
You gotta look.
It's not worth it.
It is, and it's easier. But it's easier said than done, right?
Yeah,
because we're human, and at the end of the day, you got to cut yourself a break too. And it's human reaction. It's human to be upset. It's human to get frustrated. It's human to and again, trust me, when you talk about wanting to be right, I've never met anyone in my life that has to be right more than my wife. Okay. And I'm not lying. This is not because I'm married to her. This is because that's who she is as a person. For me, that's just who she is. She has, no matter what happens, she has to still spin it. Even if she has, she's wrong as a part of it, let me spin this into a reason of why I thought this way or why this was, because she just, but that's who she is. So I could sit there and dwell about it. I could sit there and let that cause a wedge between me and her. Or I can just say, you know what? This is more important to her than it is to me. This is the kind of person that she is.
Yeah.
Let it go. Because for me, I think I do a pretty good job of this in general, because we talk a lot about this. And I think people that know me, especially my close circle, know I live life. And I try to not waste a second of it, because it is such a precious gift that we're given. And again, You know, it ties into what we're talking about today, because no one ever thinks it's going to happen to them.
No,
my dad, I guarantee he didn't think he was going to happen this soon, but it happened.
Your daughter, unfortunately, lost a friend.
Yeah, she
lost. And teenagers.
Yes, and again, no one in a million years would have saw that coming, right? Or you hear these tragedies about kids getting in car accidents, and I got two teenage drivers. I worry about it every day that my kids get in a car, or every day my kids get in a car with their friend. Like, oh my gosh, please, God, look over them. Please keep them safe. And it's just part of it, but you have to... They have to be an adult. They have to grow up. You have to give them that leash. They have to.
Well, you have to have faith.
And you have to live life. And these are the things. You can't live your life in a bubble. It's just not the reality of it. Because if you're living your life in a bubble, what life are you living? I don't understand the concept of it.
Yeah.
I don't understand trying to put this protect, 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 protect. And guess what happens? Another year goes by. Another year goes by. Another year goes by. And how much years did you waste, right? Mm-hmm. We have friends of ours that are going through a divorce right now, unfortunately, and you hate to see it happen. You know, I pray for them every day, and I hope that because they have kids involved too. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. But what I can tell you is that, you know, they probably would have hung out. They probably would have made it work until the kids were of age. What's another decade from now? So you're going to throw away another 10 years of your life because you're afraid of how the kids might react or what society might think.
Well, it's that weird balance though, because I feel like we all forget we need to be happy too, right? We're not here. I told Cole, I'm not here on this planet to be miserable.
No.
I know for that damn fact.
Yeah.
But also, that's where it gets confused, because then you're seeing the divorces left and right. And I'm not talking about our friends going through it. Just maybe my generation. The second they feel unhappiness, they're like, I'm out. And I say that because I am that. And that's why I'm happy to have Cole. I also was cheated on. Cole's my second boyfriend ever, and then I married him. But the boyfriend before that, I got cheated on. That stuck with me.
Sure.
And so my natural reaction is when I feel sadness, I would just pull out, like, I'm done. Right. And Cole's like, no, that's not how it works. And so it's been 12 years of him like saying, we're in this together. Right.
Yep.
And most people don't. I'm lucky that I have somebody like him in his mature mind, because my generation is so easy to be like, let's quit.
Yep.
That's why you see my generation.
We've made it too easy to quit.
Yeah.
We've made it too easy to throw up your hands and quit. We've made it to where divorce is almost celebrated. Like,
I see people have divorce parties.
I know. It's just, again,
like, that's sad.
It's crazy to me. Right now, again, I'm not, there's no judgment because you don't know other people's situations. And if people are cheated on, or, you know, they're in an abusive relationship or whatever, you want them to get out of those type of things, right? That should be celebrated if it's something, it's a bad situation like that.
But just because you have an argument, like.
But some people celebrate it because they go, cool, welcome to the club.
I'm going to be single and hook up with people now.
I see that more so today. I see more of it like, well, most of my friends are doing have been divorced now. No one's going to judge us. It's such a regular thing now in today's society. It's no big deal. No one even thinks about it twice anymore. You know, and then let's celebrate it because, well, now she's with us. The other three of us are divorced. Now we have another companion that could be in this with us. I just don't see that as, I don't see the value in it.
Yeah.
I don't. And again, this is just for me, my perspective, and my perspective doesn't, it means only enough to me and my family, but I want us, my kids growing up in this world, like you said, where everything just gets thrown away and everything's so easy just to walk away and quit. I want my kids to be the opposite.
Nothing good comes easy.
Yeah,
I think people forget that.
Yeah, and what is the reward going to be when you and Cole hit 50?
Yeah.
When you look back.
I can't be old with that man. He's probably going to be bald, and I won't kiss him 50 times on our wedding anniversary.
But you look at what it would take for that accomplishment.
Yeah.
Right? You think about how much forgiveness from both sides.
Yeah.
In 50 years, okay? I've been with my wife for 20. And I can tell you right now, it's taken a great deal of patience, mostly on her part, because I am not easy, because I have that bean temper, which is not good. My daughter has it, and I'm trying to break that chain.
I've got that Benavides temper.
Right. Yeah. And again, no good comes from that anger.
Yeah.
Nothing good comes from it, except for it allows you to make you feel better, to vent for 5 minutes and get things off your chest.
Yeah.
And then you probably, like me, if you're like me, you ultimately regret it, because I always do. Because I'm like, man, I yelled at the kids, or I jumped on the kids, or I snapped at Allison. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, dude, why did I do that? Like, why did I make this such a huge deal? Why did I let my anger consume me? Like, it controlled me, because obviously I lashed out because I wasn't in control of the situation. But you look at, you know, with my kids, I want them to see what the benefit is and what the payoff is to work through that. And I'm always envious of people that make it that far, because I know that what they had to go through to hit that.
Well, and you know, an example of earlier this week, I think that was the day I called you. I was going through that stressful day. I was like, Ryan.
Yeah.
But that night, I mean, it was a stressful day from start, from 5:30 is when I got that text, all the way through that evening. And Ken's sitting there. Cole got home, and I picked Ken up early, and I'm sitting on my computer working. And when I am hyper-focused on something, maybe I have ADD or whatever it is, but when I'm hyper-focused on something and my stress level is at all-time high, I've told Cole, just leave me alone. Don't try to ask me about dinner. Just do whatever you want. I said, because I don't want to snap. It's already taken so much of me to not snap, right? Mm-hmm. And so he came home that day, and I forgot what he was asking me about. And he could tell I had my computer up. I was hyper-focused, like, on a message that we had a deadline or whatever. And I snapped, and I said, you see, I'm hyper-focused. And Ken was right there, and I was like, I'm trying to get this done. And so then he was like, sorry. And so I went in the room, calmed down, and I came back out, and I looked at Ken. I was like, mommy should not have lost her temper. And that's my fault, and I'm sorry. I was like, just because I'm upset doesn't mean I can be mean to you and daddy. That's not fair.
Yeah.
He's like, it's okay, mommy. I was like, no, it's not okay. That's not how you treat people just because you're dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I want Ken to understand, like, that whole stress moment and how we react to it, because I have that temper and I snap.
Yeah, but you're also understand that you have it, right?
Yeah.
I think what happens is, like my dad, I'll use him as an example, is there was never accountability.
Yeah.
There was never, I'm wrong. There was never, I'm sorry. There was never, I lashed out at you and it was because of something I was doing wrong, or it was something that I was dealing with. It was expected to be like, you just deal with it because it's dad.
Yeah.
Right? That's just his temper. That's just how he is. And eventually, I think that's BS. I don't care that it's just you. I don't care that that's your personality.
Yeah.
Work on yourself.
Yeah.
And you and I are very much of the opposite, is we're always working on ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's that proves the point right there. Yes, sometimes you have to go walk away and cool off and decompress.
Yeah.
But you recognize that moment, like, you know what? This was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But you recognize it, and then you immediately try to make up for it.
But
now, again,
it
doesn't make it right,
but it
is allowing you to go, you know what? I got to get better. And it goes back to everything. When I started, when people started asking me about, you know, things when I really turned a corner in my life, for the things that just came to me, and the way they look at it is they look like it just is luck. It's not luck. It's I realized that I was going to spend the same amount of energy just working on myself. Mm-hmm. And if I constantly try to better myself, no matter what that was, and I got a little better each day, whether it be my temper, whether it be my work ethic, whether it be how I treat my employees, whether it be how I interact with my customers, any of those things, if I just worked on myself and got a little bit better each day, it was going to translate into every other aspect of my life. And I think I'm a believer of it, because I'm a living proof of it. It happens every day. And that's what we're doing.
Well, and circle back to we're working on ourselves. If you're in a relationship, like Cole, obviously the amount of times in 12 years that I snap, because once I'm working on that, it has taken a lot of grace from him and understanding to see that I'm working on it, getting better. Because before I would just let it go and never apologize, right? But now I'm recognizing it, and I'm like, and I remember coming out, I was like, I'm so sorry. I should not have done that. And it says a lot about him that he's not holding that grudge against me. Mm-hmm. He's, instead of holding that detail of, you did it, he's now seeing, okay, she's in the way of correcting the behavior completely. And that says a lot about him, because me, I'm a stubborn little thing. So I'd be like, oh no, you yelled at me. Marking that down and keeping that in my memory bank.
No, it takes a great deal of patience. And when you start thinking about, and Allison does it the same way with me, but when you look at Cole, that's the win.
Yeah.
Right? And you talk about legacies. That, what is Kian seeing?
Yeah.
Kian seeing a patient father. He's seeing a dad that's not embracing that, right? He sees you guys working through it together.
Yeah.
And again, that says a lot that you're recognizing that about your husband, because that's a great trait to have, right? And he's got his faults too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he understands that I married Elena, and that means I get the package, right? It's that's the way
it
is.
When I
married Allison, and you know, the I have to always be right, that came with her.
Yeah.
And I understood that about her stubbornness, her just, you know, she has a lot of things, a lot of great things about her, but she certainly has her a lot of her faults.
As we
but
all
you
do.
Take
yeah.
them, but it's like you accept that person is like, and as long as you're trying to work on things, and again, I probably work on things more so than she does, because if you ask her, she's, you know, Jesus Christ, and then she's right there. She's, you know, she,
right? by him.
Yeah, she's up there. She's up there, you know. And yeah. Just kidding. All joking aside, but
You're gonna be in trouble.
To me, she is. But yeah, to her, it's close to perfect as possible. But you take that though, the people for who they are, but you're in it together. That's really what it all boils down to. And the time that you want to spend with that person, the life that you want to create with that person, that's the legacy.
Yeah. Well, really, and I take it back from my therapist because I used to be like, complain about myself, complain about Cole. And he'd be like, but you married him. So now you're trying to change somebody that you knew who you're marrying. It goes back to
Allison,
you have to know.
You knew who you were marrying. So stop trying to change me.
You have to know who you married.
Yeah.
Right. You knew who you married when you married them. Right. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you're right. I know myself. I wouldn't have just married somebody to marry someone.
Right.
I knew Cole was a good guy. I knew one day he's going to be a great husband, which he is.
Yep.
And I knew one day he was going to be a great dad.
Which he is.
And I knew he was going to give me a fulfilled life, even though sometimes we have butt heads.
But butting heads is
a good thing. I knew deep down in my heart, meeting him. That's why I was very strategic on dating. And he and I moved in together after a month of dating. Yeah. Like, we just knew.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other day. We bought a house before we were married together. Yeah. But I knew he was my person for life. Right? Yeah. So...
And here you are 8 years later. Anyway, so like I said, guys, we ended on a high note. See, no matter what, we started off, but
low,
you know,
high.
But it's high. And you know, it's, you know, I'm gonna move forward. I'm gonna push through like I always do in everything that I deal with. And like I said, I think successful people as a whole, they have a bad day, right? When you're struggling in life and things are not going your way, it's like, okay, I have a bad year, bad 2 years, a bad week, a bad month. You know, I try to have a bad half hour.
Yeah.
And try to get over it and just start looking at, okay, what is the good that can come out of this? What is the opportunity in this? And that's what I replay in my head with everything that gets thrown at me in my life. I'm nowhere where I need to be, but I'm a heck of a lot better than I was a few years ago from that aspect of, okay, where's the opportunity? What can I do to better myself in this type of situation? And it doesn't mean I'm not going to screw up. I'm going to screw up every day.
You ready for this quote I just thought of? Brilliant.
Yeah. What is it?
Allow yourself to be human, but don't allow yourself to be the victim.
I like it. Alana Sweetser.
We need to start some merch. Casual
conversation. Yeah. Let's get some merch. But anyway, guys.
Oh, mic drop on that one, right?
Yeah, mic drop. Right. This girl has a closing that she has to get to in a few minutes anyway.
Yeah, guys, do us a favor. If this made you think of anybody, share it with them.
Yes.
Do us a second favor of the day. Reach out to those you love. If you still have parents, reach out and tell them you love them. You know, you don't know when your last day is.
Make those memories, make that time, you know, be there for someone today. You know, whether that is, you don't know what anyone's going through, man. Be a kind person. Buy someone a cup of coffee. Take them out to lunch. Take them on a walk at lunchtime. You know, reach out to someone you haven't reached out to for a long time and just send them a heartfelt text.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be not only good for your soul, you're literally going to make that person's day. And, you know, I know that when I get those type of things, it literally can make my day. And especially, you never know if people are having a rough one, having a rough start to the day or having a rough week, and all of a sudden they get that text from you. Hey, I hadn't talked to you in a long time. Just want to let you know I was thinking of you. Think about what that's going to
do. It goes further than you think.
It goes a lot further than you think.
We'll catch you on the next week's episode.
Thank you so much. Continue to like, share, and Gary V. Thank you for forcing us to do this, because it was you pushing us to get out of our comfort zone to start this thing. Or at least
you will be on our podcast.
One of these
days.
We're
putting that into the future.
We're going to get on that.
So we're holding us against us.
I love that guy.
Consistency.
I wish I could cuss as much as him. My wife's like, no.
I did. I just cursed.
Yeah, I know. But he does it like my style, which I appreciate.
Do it.
No, it's a lot of it. It's too much.
Oh, my God.
Maybe when I meet him, we'll start bouncing. We'll start bouncing each other off. Yeah,
I'll curse for everybody.
There you go. Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Bye.